Father God, I want to thank you for every listener today. I want to thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, for this precious time and this opportunity to share your word, Lord God, with your people. I thank you, Lord God, that there will be believing hearts today. Yes, Lord, I thank you that there will be believing hearts today. My God, I thank you that there will be believing hearts today. I thank you, Lord God, that we will be open to receive all that you say and that we will take personal, Lord God, the things that you would speak. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to say this to you today, and I want to get this across to you, and I'm going to tell you why in just a moment. God loves you. Now, like the teachers do with the little children, and they say, repeat after me, but I want you to say, God loves me. Repeat after me. God loves me. Say it again. God loves me. God loves me. That needs to sink in today. I'm going to read a couple of verses of scripture to you out of Psalm 103, verses 10 and 11. And then I'm going to tell you the story or the testimony that I heard of a young lady who was a preacher's daughter. Psalm 103 talks about God's love and God's mercy and his kindness toward us. Verses 10 and 11 says, what I'm going to read beyond 11. He had not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far have God removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, and as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. God is good, God is merciful, and his is bountiful toward us in his love. As a matter of fact, God is outrageously gracious to us. It's like the grace of God upon our lives and the grace that God has spoken toward us and is shown toward us in Jesus Christ is immeasurable to the point that we cannot even begin to say how good God is. And so I heard this young lady's testimony. She's in her 20s now. But when she was about 17 years old, she was in the church. Her father was a pastor. She was in the church. She was part of the youth group. But her heart had begun to stray away from God and the things of God. And she was being drawn and attracted to the world and the things that were going on. And so she was doing things that she was not supposed to be doing. And one evening, she said to her parents that she was going to go and take in movies and eat pizza with her friends from the church. And so because they trusted her, they, you know, let her go and be with her friends that evening. Well, actually, she was going to a wild house party where there was going to be drinking and all of the craziness that goes with that, with kids, how they do things. And so about 10 o'clock that night, her dad saw on his cell phone that his daughter was calling him. And when he picked up the call, he realized that that was not her on the other end. But it was a friend of hers who was anxious and very excited about what was happening. And he could hear all this noise and all this music in the background, and he was wondering at the moment what was going on, and he was about to find out that his daughter was falling down drunk, and she was at a party, and they were afraid because of some of the things that were going on with her, and the friend was saying, please, can you come and get her? So her dad looked at her mom, and he got ready to go and get his daughter, and so he went to pick her up, and when he got there, he literally had to pick her up and carry her out of the house. She was in such bad shape. He took her home, and when he got her home, her mother put her to bed. So they sat down after the mother got her to bed, and they sat down and they looked at each other and they said, "What now?" The next morning, when she woke up, she was messed up, and she realized that she had messed up. And so after a period of time, she decided to go downstairs and face the music because she knew she was in big trouble. And so she went downstairs, and as she descended the stairs and walked into the area where her mother and father and her brothers were sitting, there was this huge breakfast on the table. And they were waiting breakfast for her to have breakfast with them. And when she walked into the room, she could see that all of her favorite foods were there prepared for her on that table. And she decided to talk and just get it out of the way. And her dad said, "Honey, sit down and let's have breakfast together." And it was like, now I know I got something coming here. So, you know, look at all of this. What? And so they said, she sat down, and so then she decided again, she wants to protest. Let's talk about this. Let's get this thing out of the way. I was disobedient. I did my own thing. I got in trouble. I've done things that are embarrassing. Just let's talk about this. And the dad said, "Hush, we're going to enjoy breakfast together as a family." And she was just, "I need to talk about this." And he said, "Honey, no matter what happened last night, you're still our daughter, and we love you. Let's eat." So they had breakfast. She was uncomfortable. There was conversation at the table. And then when they were done, her father said, "Now we're going to go somewhere." And so she said, no, I need to wash the dishes. He said, "You don't have to worry about the dishes. I want you to go, and I want you to get dressed, and I want to take you somewhere. And so she said, "Okay, this is it. This is when the ball drops. This is when the trouble is coming. I knew it was coming. So this is it. He's going to take me out, and it's just going to be the two of us, and he's going to let me have it." And so when they got in the car, she thought, "I'm probably going to have to go over to the house and help clean up the mess that we made in that other family's house tonight." She just had all kinds of thoughts going through her head. And then her dad started driving in the direction of the mall. And so she's wondering, why are we going to the mall? And then when we got to the mall parking lot, her dad say, "I want to take you to your favorite shop today. And you know that thing that you've been saving for that you wanted to buy?" Her dad said, "Listen," he said, "we're going to go in here. We're going to buy it today." She said, "No, Dad, we cannot do that. Dad," and she was protesting because of all that she had done. She was trying to get him to see. He said, "Honey, you're still my daughter. I love you. And the most important thing for you to know right now is the power of my love for you. The most important thing for you to know right now. So what's done is done. We're going to put last night behind us. And we're going to move forward from this point because it's important to me. It's important to your mom that you know the depth of my love for you." She's flabbergasted. They went in the store, in her favorite store. They bought something that she had been saving for, that she really wanted for a very long time. They went in the store, he purchased it, and she comes out, and she just doesn't know what to do with that kind of love. She doesn't know what to do with that kind of forgiveness. But it triggered something in her that day that made her from that point on want to be what her parents expected her to be, wanting more than that to be the child that God would want her to be. Because through that incident, she had experienced the grace of God, the undeserved favor. She didn't deserve breakfast of all of her favorite foods. She didn't deserve not to take her turn washing the dishes that day. She didn't deserve not having been blessed out and told how she had embarrassed the family. She did not deserve going to the mall to get the thing that she always wanted to buy at her favorite store that she had been saving a long time for. She didn't deserve any of the treatment that she got. And it triggered in her an appreciation for the love and the grace that was being shown to her. I want you to hear, God wants you to hear today, that when he deals with us, he deals with us to this point, that whatever he forgives, whatever he cancels in our lives, the ultimate goal is that you would know the love of God in such a way that it would change your behavior. It would turn you to God and not away from God. God's love is so powerfully good. His grace toward us is more than we can begin to express. We don't deserve the goodness, but God shows it to us. Why? Because that's who he is. The love of God is immeasurable. We can't measure the love of God. We cannot even begin to repent as much as we need to repent for all of the goodness that is shown us at our repentance. The best we can do is turn from what we do. The best we can do is appreciate that God loves me, and this love is richer and more pure than anything I've ever known in my life. It's bountiful toward you and me. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave." I want to stop right there. "For God so loved that he gave." Do you hear that God's love is so powerful that it gives, and it doesn't give to those who are deserving, but it gives to those who are undeserving? What am I saying here today? God wants us to know that no, he doesn't condone sin. He does not condone us lying and cheating and whoremongering and backbiting and hating and being full of all of those things. That's not what he loves. He loves you. And he loves you to the point that he wants you to experience his love in such a way that it will create in you a desire to please him. A desire to walk and live a life that's different. You know, there's nothing like being loved. I don't know about you, but I know what it feels like not to be loved. And I know what it feels like to be loved. And like I heard somebody say many years ago, he said, "I know what it is to be poor, and I know what it is to be rich." He said, "And rich is better." And so I know what it is to be not loved, and I know what it is to be loved, and I want you to know love is better. The Bible says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." You're not going to know the Lord's love until you experience it. David said, "Taste it, roll it around on your taste buds, and see, and you will learn that the Lord is good." Some people don't know that God is good because they have misconceptions of God based on religion and based on things that have happened in their life and have missed out on taking a taste of God. One of my children, and I won't say which, used to look at the food, smell the food, and say, "I ain't yike it. You haven't tasted it. I ain't yike it. It don't mail right. I ain't yike it." Listen, taste it and you will see. I ain't yike it. You don't know you don't like it. You don't know that you can't appreciate the love of God. That God, you don't know how much God can love you because you've not given him that chance. You know, I was going to preach something else today, but when I heard that story, I thought, oh God, that thing hit me so that there are those of us who name the name of Christ and we still don't know. We still not come in close enough to know the love of God. We've not come in close enough to experience that God loves me. And God is saying, "Listen, I love you. I see you. I know what you do. I know that you're dust. I know what you're capable of. I've seen you. I know you better than you know you. I know what motivates you, and still I love you." That's some powerful love. That's some powerful wanting to be with someone. That's some powerful wanting to be the best you can toward that person and do the most you can for that person. That girl that day, she said, "My life was changed forever God wants to change somebody's life forever. He wants to change somebody's life forever. He wants you to know today, God loves me. Say, God loves me. God loves me. Don't even think about all that you've done wrong, everything that you're doing wrong. Don't even think about where you are right now. Think about this. God saw you before you got here, has seen you, and God says, you are the apple of my eye. You make me pat my foot and I rejoice about you. God is saying, I love you. And the love that he has for you will change you into the person that God has seen that you can be. For God so loved the world that he gave. Romans 5 says that where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Why? Because of the love of God. God gives you undeserved favor. You don't have it coming, but God does it anyway. She didn't have it coming. That girl had nothing else but being put on punishment coming. But her dad did none of that because he wanted her to know more that he loved her than what she had done wrong. I want to express this the right way. What she had done wrong was no small thing. Disobedience is not a small thing. But his love for her was greater than what she had done. And that's what God is saying today. My love for you is greater than anything that you could ever do to fall away from me. Anything that you could ever do contrary to my will for your life. Taste and see that the Lord is good. If you don't, you'll never know. Let's read from Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through probably to the end of the chapter. And I'm going to read from the NLT. And Jesus is illustrating how the Father is so ready to save, so ready to forgive any and all things. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. But no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. And I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. So he returned home to his father, speech all ready. And while he was still a long way off, while the daughter was in the bed sleeping off the drunk, while the son was a long way off, while you were still doing everything that you thought you were big enough to do, while you were still in your sins and doing it and glad to be doing it, while you were a long way off, the father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son. Please pay attention. The scripture says filled with love. It doesn't say filled with anger. It doesn't say filled with I told you so. It's not filled with now look at you. What do you want from me? It's not filled with that. He's filled with love and compassion. No finger pointing. My God, no finger pointing. He is saying to him, I love you. I feel you. And I feel where you've been. He ran to his son and embraced him and kissed him. When you're embraced by someone, you feel the warmth of that person's heart. You feel the strength of that person's love for you. He's making sure he understands that he loved him, that he loves him. And he kissed him. His son said to him, Father, he's got his speech ready. Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you. He's like, you done got all, you know, right, got it all memorized. And I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Number one, you don't even have any idea how much your dad loves you. You're totally oblivious of your dad's love. And your dad is about to show you now that you don't even know him. And I believe that the Father wants us to know today the depth and the strength of his love for us and how far that love will carry us if we would just allow ourselves to believe and receive his love. There is so much deliverance in that. There is so much peace in that. There is so much life in that. There's so much not being kicked around in that. There's so much freedom and so much, oh my, yes, Lord God, yes. There's so much freedom in that. Because then you don't have to carry the weight of where you've been and the things that you've done. You don't have to carry the weight of you knew better than and you did it anyway. You don't have to carry the weight of, I knew you'd come back. You don't have to carry the weight of any of that. God's love is freeing. It is not oppressive. It does not weigh down, but it frees. It releases us. You know, in Psalm 40, one of the songs that David sings is about how he was in a miry pit. And not only is he stuck in that place, but he can't even get his footing in that place. His feet are slipping and sliding. And he's just in a bad place. He can't get out of the place and he can't even get stabilized in that place. And he said, I cried unto God and he heard me. And he took me from that place and set me on a rock, a firm place. I was in a messy place. I was in a place where I was up and down, here and there. Not settled in any sense of the word. Always being tossed and driven by my circumstances. Always letting my feelings get the best of me. Always letting what people said about me get the best of me. Always allowing myself to be judged by others and even judging me and being harsh about it. And then I cried out to God and he set my feet on a solid place. And he showed me my real value. He established me. He not only set my place on a solid place, but he showed me that he had a plan and a future for me. See, if we would allow the love of God and the word of God to work in our hearts, we will find out, my goodness, God knows how bad I am, and that he's not bothered by that because his goodness toward me is greater than how bad I am. I'm going to get this out. His goodness toward me is greater than how bad I am. God doesn't want to hear your speech today. You know, your little speech, and most of the time your little speech is only because you're feeling bad about you got caught. Don't you know if her dad hadn't caught her that night, she was going to do it again? Somebody need to say, man, I'm going to give you a minute. I don't use to say, but y'all need to type in, amen. Because she was going to do it again if she had not gotten caught. And it wasn't her parents' purpose to say, okay, we caught you. But we love you in spite of what you've done. Because it's important for you to know that you can be safe and you can be secure with us. God wants us to know that we're safe and we're secure with him. So your speech, because you got caught, is not what God wants to hear. We need true repentance. My God. And so he said, I've sinned against heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Where did you go to get your information? You didn't get it from your father. Who determines who's worthy? God came for us when nobody was worthy. When we were all wandering, gone astray. Jesus came into the world to save. Come on, church. Come on. You don't get to determine whether God can save you or not. As long as you're breathing, hallelujah, you're worthy. You can be saved. You can be delivered from the darkness in your soul this day. from those contrary ways that you have, that you know have nothing to do with God and His word for you. You can be delivered from all of that today. Well, how? By the love of God, by this message that I'm preaching you today, where God says, my grace is sufficient. My grace is more than your sin. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Where wrong abounds, the goodness of God does much more abound, overcomes that and influences your life in such a way that it brings change. Not condone your sin. Jesus didn't come to condemn or to condone, but he came to set free. We were already condemned. And so he said, but his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Ooh. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. Ooh-wee. Servants don't wear shoes. Sounds like his speech is wasted. Because if he was going to treat him like a servant, he wouldn't have sent for sandals. Servants didn't wear shoes. He said, get sandals for his feet. He said, and then kill the calf we have been fattening. He said, we're going to feed him good today. We must celebrate with a feast. We're going to have a party. Can you see that man and his daughter and his sons and his wife sitting down with the one member of the family who had gone astray, and rather than hating on her, they're loving her? Oh my goodness, God is loving you today. God is loving you today. God is loving us today. Hallelujah. We must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. My goodness, you were dead and now you live. God is celebrating you coming back. God is celebrating your turning back to him. My goodness, if you have turned away, come on, turn back. You don't need to kick yourself because you knew better. You don't need to kick yourself because you went away. You just need to come to yourself and come on back, because God is waiting for you with open arms. He loves you. His love is more than your mess. He was lost, but now he is found. And so then the party began. Now, this is the real party. You hear what I'm saying? This is the real party. The one where God himself, is saying, listen, so glad you came home. So glad that you're back. So glad that you came at all. Hallelujah. So glad that you came to your senses. Oh, the love of God is more than the things that we can do. More than the ways that we disappoint. More than the ways that we turn and do all of the wrong things. The love of God is so great for us that he's waiting with open arms. We have an advocate in Jesus Christ who ever lives to make intercession for us. When we do sin, it's like when we do fail, when we do lie, when we do cheat, when we do steal, when we do fornicate, when we do hate, come on, when we do have idols, all of that foolishness, when we turn from those things and turn back to God, it's as though we've never been there, because God wipes it all out in Jesus Christ. It's all wiped out. We've been sanctified to live. We've been sanctified to live. Sanctification cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We've been taken out of the world so that we can live unto God. In Sunday school this morning, the teacher said, you know, we used to always say, getting saved is to be saved from my sin, saved from not going to hell. But salvation is so much more than that. And I remember when I found that out, I'd have been in church all my life, but I never knew that it was more than me missing hell. I never knew that it meant that I could be changed into a person who would receive the love of God, and that love would transform me into someone who would be pleasing in God's sight. Someone who would want to. That my salvation changes my want to. Gives me new desires. Taste and see. I'm telling you, the Lord is good. Don't keep hanging out there. This is a good place to be. He says, we're going to celebrate his safe return. And that's what they did. They had a feast for him. He came home. He came back to the place that was his in the home. There is a place for every one of us, hallelujah, in the kingdom of God. All that belong to Jesus. There is a place for him, for you. Know your love. Know his love for you. Know his love for you so that you can be someone who says yes to the Lord. So that you can be someone who was changed by the things that God says. I was so impressed with how that girl's parents showed her and demonstrated the love and the grace of God. How they showed her in an actual situation. They didn't have to give her a parable. They actually showed her how the love of God works. I want to tell you today by the power of the Holy Ghost. How God's love works toward you. How it works to sanctify you. How it works to hold you and to keep you. To deliver you from yourself. Deliver you from your own agenda. Delivers you into the place where you know the heart of God. I was reading the other day where the Apostle Paul said, I want to know Jesus in the power of his resurrection. And in the fellowship of his suffering. I want to know him in the fellowship of his death. I want to know him. In other words, he said, I want to know the power that the resurrection and the life that the resurrection has brought to me. At the same time, I want to be delivered from the darkness of my soul that would keep me separate from God and not experiencing all that God has for me. All that's dark, everything that would separate me from God, I want to die to it. I want to do like Jesus did. I want my will to be lost in his will. And the love of God will bring you to that desire. The love of God will cause you to want to be there. And that's what God is saying. Listen, I'm not judging you according to what you've done. I'm judging you according to my eternal purposes for you. I'm judging you according to my will for you. I have looked at you and I have seen you. And I have seen you beyond your sin. I have seen you delivered from the power of sin and death. I have seen you walking and moving every single moment in my presence in the light of my glory. That's what God is wanting to do. Ultimately, the will of God for you is that God brings you to a place where you will know his life, where you will know his love. The father said to the daughter, what I want you to remember from this incident in the coming days is my love for you more than what you did. Come on. When I heard that that's what he said to her, that thing changed her life. And when she shared that testimony with her friend who was out there at the party with her, saw the goodness, saw the grace, and got saved from where she was. And she became one of the little church girls. Come on, Church of the Living God. Hear God today when he says, my love for you will not only deliver you from fear and unbelief, but my love for you will deliver you out of the darkness that will invade your soul if you don't allow the word of God to have free course in you. Today, know this, that God loves you unconditionally. Hallelujah. Father God, I thank you for a love that we cannot begin to articulate, but we can receive. Immeasurably, you love us. Oh God, without discrimination, you love us all. And I thank you for it. I pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that the word of your love has reached someone's heart today who might be down and out, someone who feels like they failed one time too many, someone who feels like they're the rejected one and no one could ever really count me valuable. I pray, Father, that this message would reach their heart, that no matter where we go in life, no matter what we do, apart from you, you are still looking for us to save us and to make us whole. You want to give us joy. You want to give us peace. Ultimately, Lord God, I pray that we will hear that today. In the name of Jesus, amen. I pray this day that if you have never taken the time to stop and receive the salvation that God has given us in Jesus Christ, that this day
you would say, I want to know that love. I want to experience that life. I want to experience what it's like to be who God created me to be. The Bible says that God created us to be in his likeness and his image. And he won't settle for less than that. And so I pray that you have heard the word today, that God has seen you where you are and still wants you. All of the things that you may have done, he still wants you. My God, take it, believe it. God wants me. And then believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that you might live again unto God throughout eternity. And confess it with your mouth. And the scripture says if you believe it in your heart, we're not talking about just consenting, but we're talking about having such an understanding in your heart that it brings change to your life. Because to be born again is a radical change. It doesn't mean that I have an emotional feeling. It literally means that a change takes place on the inside of me. And when I believe something in my heart, when I live out of my heart, that's who I am. And so if you believe in your heart, with your heart, and you confess it with your mouth, that Jesus Christ is the Savior and that he died for your sins, you will be saved and you will become a child of God. If you can do that today, I pray that you do. And then contact us. Let us know. I got today. I believe in my heart and I confess it with my mouth that Jesus is the Christ, and we will help you with your new journey in this life. God bless you, and we'll talk to you next time.
Loves me. Period. There's nothing behind that period. Just say, God loves me. I'm sorry with this camera. If you need to be contacted or you want somebody to contact you, you can reach out to us via Messenger on Facebook, or you can go to our website and fill out a form, or you can call 314-287-3013 and someone will contact you. Again, you can stay connected with us through our weekly interactive services. We have morning prayer every morning, Monday through Friday at 5:30 a.m. To receive that information, send me an email to twcbrooklyn@gmail.com, and we will get that information out to you. We have Sunday school on Sundays at 9:30 a.m., Bible studies on Mondays at 7 p.m., and yes, we will be having Bible study tomorrow. And then on prayer, we have prayer meetings on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. via Zoom. Again, if you don't have that information, send us an email to twcbrooklyn@gmail.com, and we'll make sure that you're on the list to receive that information. We will be entering to a time of prayer and fasting January 24th through the 30th. We will be fasting from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., and then we will end the day with corporate prayer each evening at 6 p.m. on Zoom. We'd just like to say happy birthday to all of those who are celebrating a birthday in January. If I don't have your name up on this board, it's because I don't have your information. You can send, if you want that, you can send me a message at the same email address, and we'll get that on there. Otherwise, stay connected with the church via our website, transformingword.church. If you're on the go, you can also download our app from the App Store or Google Play Store. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and the YouTube channel, all under the name of Transforming Word Church. Remember, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to our God, our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Let every heart say amen. We thank you for visiting with us today, or coming by today, and we pray that you would have a good week.